you perform any bhajan under guidance, it's called anugatya. That's mentioned in the Upadeshamrita. It says, tad anugami brajatishtan. This is maybe verse number 10 or 9, right? Rupa Goswami's Nectar Devotion. Brajatishtan means living in Braj. This is how we should live in Braj. And we're all living in Braj. Brajatishtan anugami anuragi sangha. What it means is that we should live in Braj under the guidance of an anuragi Vaishnava. Anurag means one who's anu, following the path of rag, which can mean raganuga bhakti, which is actually sadhana, or he's on the path of prema, which generally the verse points in that direction. But an anuragi is actually, he's practically, you can say, a bhava bhakta. He's transcended sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana and raganuga sadhana, the two aspects, and he's firmly situated in bhava bhakti. He has rag. Rag means attachment, asakti. Nishta, ruchi, asakti. Asakti means attachment. And I can also say rag. So it's a border between bhav and rag, or it can be on the higher end of an anuragi Vaishnava, can be a bhava bhakta, or even a prema bhakti, premi bhakta. So they will, if you happen to be under such guidance, of course, Prabhupada is also such a devotee, so he's also giving the indication himself, if you can see it. But they will advise you that before you approach Krishna Leela, or Radha Krishna Leela, that you should obtain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and even before Lord Chaitanya, the mercy of Nityananda. As Raghunath Das, Raghunath Das, who's Manjari, and he's teaching so much intimate bhajan in his Stavavali and other books, that he himself followed this tradition or this system. It's called bhajan krama. Bhajana krama means sequence of bhajan, the step-by-step method. Give up material attachment, family, friends, wife, the goddess of fortune, money, position, fame, name, just forget it. Then run, and that can only be done by the mercy of Nityananda. So he got the mercy of Nityananda, he gave up all family connection, all interest in pounds, shillings and pence, and although he was only son, usually the only son has to hang around and get married and do putra and pind and shraddha and all these things, but he said, forget it, I'm captivated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Prem Sankirtan movement, and I don't want anything to do with this parivar and this continuing my dynasty and all these mundane things. So he told his father, Govinda, or rather Govardhan Majumadara, and Haranya Majumadara, his uncle, he said, listen, I'm out of here. I don't care. And then they tried to lock him up, tie him up, had so many guards, 11 guards sometimes, and cooks and servants and so many things. Then one time he got away, and they caught him and brought him back, and he ran away going with the intention of going to Lord Chaitanya and Puri, and they caught him and brought him back. And then his wife, the mother of Das Goswami, Raghunath, his name was Raghunath, she was saying, can't you do something to tie up the son, to bind him, to keep him home? And then the father laughed. I said, are you crazy? His wife is more beautiful than Lakshmi Devi. Sweet, kind, subservient, and dedicated in all the wonderful things that her husband would look for. And faithful, and chaste. And she's as beautiful, and decorated with beautiful qualities and beautiful behavior. She's as beautiful as the goddess of fortune. And money, I'm earning 200,000 gold coins a month. 200,000 gold coins, not pieces of root paper. And I am the zamindar for the entire area of West Bengal. And he's my son. And this is our estate. And if these things can't keep him tied down, this wife and this money can't keep him tied down this house, nothing can. No one, no force, nothing. Because his heart has been captured by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So eventually, he ran away again and went to Panihati, which is in West Bengal. That's not far from Calcutta, actually. And he met Nityananda there with all the bhaktas, Vaishnavas. And then he got the mercy. Nityananda gave him means and ways. Of course, Krishna also arranged for him to escape through his guru's mercy, Yadunandan Acharya. So by Krishna's yogamaya potency, his guru, the whole long story. So then he met Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda gave the mercy, engaged him in, by engaging him in Vaishnav Seva. In a very humble Vaishnav Seva, he got the mercy of Nityananda. And then he got the free ticket to go to Puri, meet Lord Chaitanya. Then he stayed for 16 years with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, living and receiving intimate instructions from Swarup Damodar, Rai Ramananda, and Haridas and others. So much tattva and understanding. And then he, of course, came to Vrindavan and took shelter of Rupa and Sanatan. And he was trained in Manjri Bhav and all these things, which he wrote about. So this is the standard that we go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to attain the service. Not go through, we actually worship them simultaneously. It's not like, thank you, you helped me out. Now I have the service of Radha and Krishna. I don't care about Gauranga anymore. No, the railroad goes on two tracks, parallel tracks. So one track is Gaur Leela and the Sankirtan and the preaching and the assisting of the preaching mission one way or the other, directly, indirectly, by financial support or encouragement or whatever, providing some help. That's the Gauranga line, the Gaur line, the Golden line. And in London they have these different subways, the Gold line, the Red line, the Green line. So that's the Gold line. And now the blue line is the other track. That's Krishna Leela, Radha and Krishna Leela. So there we will do Smaran, we'll remember those Leelas while we're chanting, we'll discuss those, especially the appropriate Leelas to the appropriate audience, and to those confidential, intimate devotees, we may discuss the intimate and confidential pastimes. But firstly, we worship Lord Chaitanya. This is the sequence. First we worship Lord Chaitanya, we meditate on his Leelas, we read about them, and then with taking his blessings or begging for his mercy and blessings, then we step gingerly and slowly into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, or maybe just the pastimes of Krishna with the killing the demons, which represent 70 different anarthas. If you actually break them up in different ways, we made a list, 70 different anarthas, obstacles to Braj Bhajan, which you have. And then, after removing the demons, then maybe you read about the Sakya Leelas, or the coward boys, and like this. There's a system, it's called Krama, Bhajan Krama. Not the immediately, I chanted my 16 rounds, and I had prasadam, now let's read Rasa Leela, Harivo. Krishna touching the gopis' thighs and putting his hand on their breast and this and that. Yeah, great, I'm into it. I was just doing that last week with my girlfriend. That's not the way the Anuragi Vaishnavas instruct the residents of Vrindavan to carry on their bhajan. This is a sure way to destruction. So first Gaur Leela and Seva of Gauranga, and then by his mercy and the Seva Vritti, the Gaur Seva Vritti, which is established in the consciousness, then we get somewhat purified and understand something about the greatness of Radha and Krishna and the transcendence of it all. Then we have suitable adhikar, or eligibility or qualification to slowly, carefully, and cautiously approach Krishna Leela in Vrindavan. And not that we immediately jump into the middle of the rasa dance. We may go through the demon-killing Leelas, or maybe Dwarka Leela, or Mathura Leela, and then come around back to Vrindavan Leela when we get some purification, some attachment, some genuine understanding. This is the system. So you want to do your own system? Okay, Haribol. But this is the time-tested system for the last 500 years of Mahaprabhu's Prem, let's say, Gauranga's Prem Sankirtan movement. This is what the Acharyas teach. This is what the Anuragi Vaishnavas, this is how they teach their sadhakas and their Bhajanandi students. Nam, Gaur Leela, Krishna Leela. So the R classes are structured like that. Nam, Gaur Leela, Krishna Leela. And it's 5 minutes or it's 10 minutes, okay. That's all we're qualified for. But we'll try to see if we can increase the airtime for Radharani, because certainly that is our destiny and our goal, to become maidservants of Radharani under the shelter and guidance of the in the Rupa Nugadara, the line of the line or dhara of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and Raghunath Das. Rupa Raghunatha Padi, Hoivi Akuti. Akuti means eager. Akuti. When will I be eager to read the books of Rupa Goswami and chant his bhajans and Raghunath Das Goswami? I don't even know what the names of the books are. So how can I be eager to read them? So first we become aware, and it's like this. So they are our Mahajanacharyas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Have you heard of this book?
Yes.
Some fabulous production BBT has done. So that's Sanatan Goswami, one of his primary contributions, and other books also. So Prabhupada has given us the essence of these books and his books, and let's study Prabhupada's books thoroughly and tightly and completely. Very few people can even stand up and say, yes, I have read all of Prabhupada's books. There are very, very few people in the entire world. And we can ask you, are you one of them? No, yes. And we could even say, how many books does Prabhupada have? Oh, 20, 10. So we're hearing the Lord Chaitanya has concluded his preaching, at least say, describing the perils of the baby in the womb at the age of 7 months, and how he's petitioning and begging and crying and calling out to the Lord with his realization of his predicament with about 10 or 15 prayers. He's quite a smart little boy. He's very precocious for the age of 7 months. And now he's kind of drawing this to a conclusion here. This is his teachings. By the illusory, this is Madhya Kanda, chapter 1, text 233. Lord Chaitanya taught his mother, Shachimata. By the illusory energy of Krishna, the servant of Krishna, suffers in this way if he does not worship Krishna. Now, this is a nice purport. And this, we should pray that this divine revelation will descend into our consciousness. Every living entity is constitutionally a Vaishnava. What does that mean? If you don't know what Vaishnava means, it means an eternal servant of Krishna. Now, what does that mean? Connection? That he's. Does that include the dog?
Yes.
Is the dog a living entity? Yes. The bird? Fish, cat, everyone? So that means all these animals and birds, they're all our God brothers. They're all bhaktas. Bhakta dog, bhakta bird, bhakta crow. So they're all constitutionally a Vaishnava. But by action, they're crows. Right? There's one thing is constitution, and the other is the actual external. As soon as the living entity turns from the service of Vishnu, he comes under the control of the covering and throwing potencies. These are two potencies of Maya. Krishna's deluding, illusory external energy. The mentality of measuring every object under the shelter of the illusory energy through one's sensory knowledge is certainly deluding and born of the desire for material enjoyment, therefore the source of unlimited miseries. So he's commenting on Lord Chaitanya's verse, because Lord Chaitanya is saying, the servant of Krishna, due to Maya, because everyone's a servant, the servant of Krishna suffers if he does not worship Krishna. So then he's elaborating on that, saying, yes, everyone, every living entity is by constitution meant to serve Krishna. And if he doesn't, then he's deluded by Maya. And then his senses and all his knowledge acquiring senses and all his activities, they simply engage him in Maya and he suffers. Lord Chaitanya goes on. Kato dine kalavashe haya buddhigyan itteje bhajaye Krishna sehi bhagyavan. Vishwambar, Nimai Pandit, said to his mother, in course of time, the child develops intelligence and knowledge. Kalavashe. buddhi gyan. And if he worships Krishna, he is surely fortunate, bhagyavan. So he may get some intelligence, some brain, as he grows, according to his prarabdha karma. But he uses it for computer science. BCom. And no interest in God. But if he worships Krishna, then he becomes bhagyavan jeev. What's that verse? Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev. That is Jeev, after wandering through so many universes, being a computer scientist and an engineer and a city planner and an exporter and importer, he finally becomes Bhagyavan Jeev. Becomes a fortunate Jeeva. And what does he do? He surrenders to Guru. Then he begins his life of devotion and finds perfection of human existence by realizing Krishna and returning to Krishna to engage in his eternal loving service in his siddhadeha, in the context or the purview of his siddhadeha, his siddhabhav. His siddhabhav means his perfect loving mood. He's really fortunate. Anyata na bhaje Krishna dushta sanga kare punase matta maya pape dubi mare. If he does not worship Krishna and takes to bad association, then he again sinks into the depths of sinful activities and delusion. The very wonderful purports here. And you can read that. 236. Yadiya sadbi patipuna shishnodara kritodyamai ashtito ramate jantus tamovishati puravavat. Vishwambhara continued, if the living entity again associates with the path of unrighteousness, asadbipat, asadbi, temporality, influenced by sensually minded people engaged in the pursuits of sexual enjoyment and the gratification of the palate, means the tongue and genital, he again goes to hell as before. Here we go. Full speed. So association can put you forward, association can put you in bondage. Anayasena maranam vinadai dainyena jivanam anaradita govinda charanasya katam bhavet. For one who has never worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Govinda, how is it possible for him to live in comfort and die in peace? So people, although they pretend, they seem to be non-devotees and not interested in any puja of Govinda, anaradita Govinda. Radha means puja, means anaradita. They're without any worship or puja of Govinda. Charanasyam katam bhavet. But actually, they don't really live very comfortably, though they may make a good show. If you look into their lives, those impious, irreligious people who are separated from God, the Gnostics, the Pashandis, they are really in the core of everything. They're really alienated and really unhappy. And you can go and interview people in Delhi and find out. They come to the temple. We meet them. They have so much money, so much influence, and they're so sad and so unhappy, so frustrated, because they're not serving Krishna. Now, what to speak of when they die? When they actually leave their body, what good news is waiting for them? There's some really beautiful people. They have these phrases, the beautiful people. Go to where the beautiful people are. Go on a vacation here or there. Meet the beautiful people. Become a beautiful person. So they meet some very beautiful creatures at the time of death. You can look in the fifth canto and see how beautiful they are. They're yellow and green. Called the Yamaduts, the agents of death. They come to greet the Pashandis. Oh, sir, please, we've been waiting for you for many years. We have a dossier. A dossier means a file, dossier, a dossier. We have a file on you, a mile long, 2 kilometers long. And we're going to let you have it. And they rip you out of the body and take you through Yamaloka for judgment and send you to hell, 24 hells. It's a 24 city tour. You get to visit 24 hells, and it's a very nice vacation. I hope you enjoy your stay there. And there's, my friends and I will show you the way, and there's a few dogs with us, and they will bite your hiney, they will bite your butt, and they will encourage you to move very quickly down the copper road, which is burning your feet with this scorching sun over your head, and all other good things. If you want to find the real nitty gritty, it's called the nitty gritty. If you really want to find the nitty gritty about going to hell, the fifth canto is only a summary, because all Puranas are there. Fifth canto contains all the different Puranas, which with the essential teachings. So you want to get really into the nitty gritty of going to hell, the road to hell of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas also go to hell, but it's a nice road. And when they see Yamaraj, he's very friendly, smiling. He hugs them, embraces them, and he says, "Oh, what's the report on Krishnadas? Oh, he did all these Mangalartiks and all these things. Oh, I'm very happy to meet you." Because he passes through a different gate. He says, "So, you know, you really haven't perfected your bhakti. So now, of course, you won't go to hell. But now you take birth over here and this and that." And it's like this. This is explained in Garuda Puran. Garuda Puran. And it's very interesting, actually. Very, very interesting. It's the Puran which is most translated in English. It's Garuda Puran. It talks about Vaitarani River and hell and all these good deeds. And also deformities. If a person has this, it means that, or at least it can mean. It doesn't always mean that, but you know, if they have a long nose or something, or whatever, it means this, or Pinocchio. It's not always true, because you can't say, "Oh, he has like this, that means that." But who knows anyway about the last life? But if you go to Brigo, then you can confirm or really what's being said there. Yet said be. Oh, I said that already. I'm going backwards. Anayase marana jivan. Anayase marana jivana dukavine. Krishna bhajile sehaya Krishnara smarane. Vishambhar said, "To live without poverty and die peacefully, one must worship and remember Krishna." So those that worship Krishna, they don't see the Yamadutas. There's innumerable numbers of devotees who have died over the last 30 years. Vaishnavis and Vaishnavas. And everyone you can collect all the reports. And I've never heard any reports of the devotees seeing the Yamadutas. Like, dying like this. And rigor mortis. Rigor mortis means you get frozen in frozen position. And people that die in hospitals, normal deaths, materialistic people, they have all these frightening, horrible faces. They just saw the worst horror movie they've ever been to. And they're the star. They're the star, and the monsters are the Yamadutas. And at the time of death, they see them, "Ah, they've come, help me, ah." And they die like. The devotees, have you ever seen any devotees die?
I've just heard of the past two.
Yeah, well, body, it goes through its different transformations. But have you ever seen the faces or mukha of any devotee who's died? Anyone? Excuse me? You saw? What was her face like? Here it is, like concrete.
Her face was peaceful. Also 3 days before one month, she left.
There you go, there's 2 and 5 days. But the faces, what we want to know about, yeah. You've seen the faces. Anyway, what I've seen, I've seen 4 or 5 devotees when they're leaving. So if you want to counterbalance this, and you meet any nurses or people, doctors that work in the hospital where people have died, in the geriatric ward, which means the ward where old people are, that die frequently, people go there to die. And you ask them, what do the people's faces look like if they're not all on drugs or whatever? which they are oftentimes. So they don't have any expression. And you can understand, you can find out, because I met in Sankirtan many people like that, doctors and nurses that work in these type of places, and I've heard from them. I haven't seen karmis myself. I never saw any relatives die, but I've seen Vaishnavas. And I've heard from them, and they say, oh, they look like they see some terrible thing, they're so frightened. Their faces are...
Faces get deformed out of rigor mortis, and the face is like deformed.
You know, first, it's like, it's fixed in the position that it was when they left. It doesn't change. It's not like they're smiling, and then they get rigor mortis, they go, no. It's like they're grieving and they're frightened, and then they get stiff within a few hours. But that pose, the last one, that's the frozen in time. That's the one that gets frozen on by rigor mortis. That's what I'm saying. You ask them at the moment they die. Not take everyone gets rigor mortis. Not everyone. Great Vaishnavas don't. When they brought Sridhamadhar Goswami here to Radhakund, I saw him coming, they brought his body here, and he was already had left his body for 3 or 4 days. He left in Calcutta, then they waited for people, relatives to come and see him, this and that. He had left his body, and his body was being dragged around India for 5 or 6 days. And of course, I suppose they put him on ice here and there and keep it cool, whatever they could.
But
there was no ice. It was a little cold, it wasn't so hot.
But
well, oh, I didn't know that, because generally I've seen some politicians in Delhi that kept on ice. Cause, yeah, well, I didn't know they didn't have ice. But they didn't have any ice, and when his body got here, they bathed him, and then he was sitting there, was dressed, and then they were going to bathe him afterwards. He's sitting there, and his arms were like fully, like everyone thought, oh, is he going to give a lecture? Because he was sitting on his asana. There was no discoloration. Usually your skin gets all these black spots and all these things like that, you know, these brown people over there, you know, normal people. And death spots, whatever they call them. And his skin was like golden, and it was so like, just like this, and then they put a curtain around so no women could see because he was in the courtyard, and then they took off his clothes and they bathed him, and I was just standing there. Because, you know, his god brother used to come, so I was just standing there, chanting, watching. And his body, they lifted his arm up and then bathed him, and then back to him. He's totally as supple and as fresh as you are, or we are, and we're supposedly alive, I suppose. You know, you have to break the fingers to go and take them in the funeral morgue. In the West, they have these viewing of the dead body. You know, people in the West, the Christians, they show the dead body and then they put it in the ground and they bury it in the coffin of the Christians. So they that I know, because I had a friend who worked in the mortuary, funeral home, whatever they call it. So he told me that they have to break all the bones because the guy's like this. But then when you go to see him on viewing, he's all dressed up and he's lying flat like he's just peacefully sleeping. And they saw it, they break his jawbone, break it, because he's like this when he dies, he's like this. His knees are all bent up. So you go in to see your grandfather, he's like, ah! So they take the knee and break it and stretch out the body. And then they take the jaw and break it, and then they pin it up with pins. And he's sitting there. He died in peace.
Artificial.
Totally artificial. It's all makeup job, snow job. But here it's like, wow. And it is said among the Vaishnava Samaj, maybe in Shastras, I don't know. But if a Vaishnava's body is very supple and there's no rigor mortis, which also happens, it's considered that he's a Mahapurush. If the body after a Vaishnava dies, because maybe it happens to a Badmash too, I don't know. But let's say if a Vaishnava's body after he dies is very supple and like this, all this stuff, in other words, no rigor mortis, this is a sign that Vaishnava is or was or whatever, is a Mahapurush. Mahapurush means a great exalted Vaishnava. Prabhupada is so no rigor mortis at all. And many of his god brothers sannyasis, when they died, they were rigor mortis. Many, because I met many of the old ones. I haven't seen, but I heard. They said, oh, your guru is very special. That that I know. So this is, and I saw in Prabhupada, of course we know from birth he was a Vaishnava. Sridhamadhar. So now, I think, let's see where we are here. It's quite an interesting class today. Well, because he's talking about death, and you'll die a peaceful death, so it's all part of the purport here. To live without poverty and die peacefully, one must worship and remember Krishna. Krishna Bhajale, Krishna Smarane. Bhajale means bhajan. Krishna bhajan, Krishna smaran. Because what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita about the time of death? It's not about chanting, it's about what? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. Tajan janti kalevaram. This is the dying chapter, death chapter. Death chapter is chapter 8 of Bhagavad Gita. Especially the first 10 verses are all about death and where you go, what you do, what this and that. So Krishna is saying, whoever chants Hare Krishna at the time of death. He doesn't say that. He says, whoever remembers me. Chanting Hare Krishna is, of course, a way of remembering Krishna. But you may be eyes closed, totally quiet, and remembering Krishna. Sometimes people say, oh, when she died, she wasn't chanting Hare Krishna. So she went to hell or who knows where. This is all ridiculous thinking, talking. Do you know what she's thinking? No. Do you know what she's remembering? No. Or he or whatever. So how can you pass this judgment? Oh, the poor devotee, he wasn't saying, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! So I don't know where he went. This is ridiculous. Krishna's saying, Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavam. What is your bhava? What is your internal feeling and mood of surrender and devotion and attachment and your remembering? You may not be chanting anything, but you're remembering your wife. So, good luck. You may be remembering your husband. Good luck. Not Krishna. Bad luck. Because it's a two-way street. Love is a two-way street. Prabhupada said the same thing. He said, you may have coma, you're blanked out, your memory's all shot or eaten up, you have brain cancer, you can't even... You're like a vegetable, like they say. The devotees are maybe go like that also. There's dementia or brain cancer, all these... And then it seems like you can't even... You have to feed him and he just kind of dies. But so you don't remember anything. You're like in a coma or you're out of it. You're totally a space case, like a vegetable. They say a vegetable. And then devotees can be like that also. Anybody can be like that. That may be their destiny or how Krishna wants to show something or teach or whatever. But then you can't remember Krishna, but Krishna will remember you and all the good things you do. And he'll carry you across. That's love. And certainly Krishna doesn't leave you at the end. He doesn't drop you at the end. You think he's like that? He's not like some material lover. You love somebody for 20 years and they just drop you and walk out and file divorce. You say, wait a minute. What about all the service I did? I was like, I have no feeling for you. Go anywhere but out of here. This is the substance of movies all around the world. But Krishna's not in some movie. Krishna's real. He's God. He's the supreme person, the supreme lover. So he will never forget.